Welcome to Siemens Innovation in the Classroom podcast series. I'm your host, Dora Smith. Listen to hear some of the brightest minds in engineering education share insights and best practices to empower the next generation of digital talent. In this podcast, Hannah Straub interviews a student engineer who leads an organization dedicated to technology students. Hear what's on the mind of future engineers.
Okay, so good morning, everybody. My name is Hannah Straub, and I will be hosting the podcast today. And today I'm joined by Antonia Nanot. And Antonia is the former president of BEST, which is a European student organization that represents nearly 96 technical universities in 34 countries currently. So welcome to the show, Antonia.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me and having me. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. And just for a little background, my manager, Dora Smith, who is the director of the Academic Partner Program here at Siemens, met Antonia this year at the GEDC Industry Forum. Is that correct, Antonia?
Yes, it is correct. It was a conference that happened in Fontainebleau in France at the beginning of July.
Oh, that's awesome. And I remember getting to meet Dora for the first time since I'm an intern and I work remotely from the Milford office and she's in St. Louis. And that was happening directly after my visit with her. And she was super excited to go and meet all these people. And thank goodness she met you because now you're our first guest on our podcast. So thank you so much for being here. I kind of wanted to talk to you, Antonia, initially about your background in engineering and why you decided to pursue a degree. You are still in college, correct? If you could tell us a little bit about your background in education.
Yeah, so I am currently a student at Politehnica University of Bucharest. I'm following an engineering degree in information engineering. More or less, it goes around the subjects that are for computer engineering with a focus on software, I would say. So currently, I should start my final year. Normally, I should have finished this summer. However, with being president of BEST for the past year, I decided to take a gap year for that responsibility.
What was that like?
Well, that was a pretty tough decision, so to speak, because, you know, the idea here is that as soon as you start a degree, you should pursue it until the end, until, you know, you deliver your thesis and you get your diploma and everything. It was interesting for me to kind of step a bit out of line and say, you know what, I will just take this gap year to do something else, to lead a 3,500 people organization and learn a bit more there and try to have an impact in that area. And then I'm going to be back to it, which is actually what I'm doing now. I'm trying to catch up on everything and to get back into the studies and finishing. Yeah.
And I believe that proved to be a valuable use of your time. Am I correct?
Yes, definitely. I have no regrets there. I've learned a lot and I believe that I also achieved quite a lot of things in my year as president. And I really hope that it turns out to have an impact on technology students in Europe and who knows, maybe even beyond.
Could you tell us a little bit more about BEST? And it sounds like you're involved in this very concentrated organization. So I would love to learn a little bit more about the organization and what it does for technology students.
Of course. So BEST, first of all, stands for Board of European Students of Technology. If anyone is curious about that, we are a students organization covering quite a large part of Europe. As you already mentioned, we are present in 96 technical universities in 34 countries. We are university-based. So we have local groups formed completely by students on a volunteering basis who are working from their universities in their offices there, trying to provide development opportunities for their fellow technology students. And as such, what we do is that we try to create these opportunities in different ways. So we try to provide complementary education, meaning that over the span of a year, there are around 90 courses that are happening, like short-term courses of around 11 days to 2 weeks, happening all over Europe, gathering students from as diverse backgrounds as possible, different countries, to learn a topic that can be either on technology or on some complementary skills, like career-related skills, we like to call them. you know, the soft skills, leadership and so on, entrepreneurship and all of that. Yeah, so this is one part. Then we have an engineering competition at a European level, the largest one of the kind, which has multiple phases. You win the local round, which is happening in your university. Then you move forward to a national or regional one. It really depends on the area. And then if you win, you go to the grand final with the top engineering students, where you can compete either on a case study topic or a team design topic. This is where we actually get the tasks from corporate partners mostly. And we try to connect students, you know, with the real world and with the tasks provided by companies out there. Yeah.
And does that combine the two courses that you, or the two types of courses that you provide, the career development as well as the engineering skills? That's a cool segue between those two.
There's actually three of them. There is also applied engineering.
Oh, wow.
But that's a more difficult one to host, so we don't have that many of those.
So besides the competitions, do you have any other specialized events that you guys do every so often?
Yes, I mean, besides the courses and the competitions, we do have this third service, as we call it, the educational involvement, which has the purpose of raising awareness to students and involving them into improving their own education, basically. So you can also host this best symposia on education, we call them. It has the exact same format as a course, except for the fact that the content is provided by BEST together with experts, so deans, professors, researchers from our partners. And that's where we go and we gather the same diverse background students and we talk about education. We just get together and we say, okay, how is it going? What do we need? What is our perspective? And then as BEST, we take all these opinions and we write reports, we write papers, and we go to events and conferences trying to pass them forward to the actual, you know, change makers, decision makers in the field, as we don't have the strength to do that, but we do want to come there and say, hey, students have an opinion as well. We want to improve our education. And this is a bit of what I was doing at the event where I had the pleasure to meet Dora Smith. There was a survey there also for the students' perspective.
That's awesome. So how are you organized as, I guess, an executive board? So you were the former president. Who is underneath you and how do you kind of operate?
We are an international, we call ourselves an international board. Of course, it's European. We are seven people. So an executive board formed by the president, secretary and treasurer. Quite straightforward what the responsibilities are. And then we have four vice presidents who are managing more the internal part of the organization. So we have vice president for HR, we have a vice president for projects, which is supporting our internal structure. We took a bit of a, you know, metric style of a structure similar to the corporate one, and we work based on projects right now. We also have a vice president for services, handling all these things that I just talked to you about, and a vice president for local group support, because we always aim to enable our local groups to be strong and to be able to do more within their universities. And then we also have nine departments who are handling their knowledge areas. So you would have IT, you would have PR, you would have the educational involvement one who's giving the content for what I just explained, with their coordinators, and that's how we are working together, and of course, one-year-long projects with their project coordinators and teams.
Is BEST very integrated in your community where you're headquartered? And do you do any outreach, or is that a priority of your organization?
Well, in the place we are headquartered, that would be Brussels. We do try to be present in certain events there, and we do try to reach out whenever we can. But the thing is that the way that we work as an organization is rather traveling based. So we don't really stay there. Okay. That's just like a formal office. So the way we do things is just, that's why I couldn't actually continue my studies for that year, because I was in Bucharest for, 5 days. And then I was away for 3 weeks and then back again for 5 days. It's really traveling based mostly. So the outreach and the involvement really stays a bit more at the local groups level, and it's more their responsibility to make it happen there in their communities and universities.
So in a way, the whole world is your office, and that is such a cool component, especially to an organization with STEM, to kind of spread those messages of incorporating technology into society in general. Do you have a favorite part of the organization or a favorite component?
Yeah, this is a difficult one to answer, especially after I was president for the last year. I definitely like and believe in all the services that we provide. And I think that what I like the most about BEST is, you know, this volunteering mindset that we have. So we're not only aiming to be a network connecting the technology students, but rather the people who are members of BEST, they are pure volunteers. So there are actually, like, in our European competition in EBEC, that's the name, BEST members are not even allowed to participate, for example. So it's really, and I'm talking by, when I say BEST member, I'm talking about the people who are part of the local groups. We are dedicating our free time and we are volunteering so that our fellow students, the ones that are next to us, can get some more opportunities. Of course, we develop ourselves a lot in the process too. But I think this is one of the things that I like the most. And as president, I was more connected to the educational involvement side. It actually had a pretty nice influence on me, as I know I got personally quite hyped about improving technical and engineering education. So yeah, that holds a special place in my heart now.
And I assume that it's something you would take back to your studies as well.
Actually, it is. I just haven't found the right framework or format right now. But I am trying to have some discussions with some university officials, especially trying to play a role in the internationalization of our university. And definitely when I go back, whatever I can support, if there are projects around or if I can get involved in some way in improving it, I'm keeping an eye out for that, yes.
Would you be able to share any stories or kind of touch more on this perspective you have on the student progression in the classroom and how prepared with your organization you think that students are for Industry 4.0 upon graduation and upon working through the workforce at all?
I will definitely not speak on behalf of anyone, and this will be a bit of my personal opinion based on the experience that I've had so far. This is a matter that is quite different. Already all over Europe, there can be seen that there are pretty huge differences between different parts of Europe. Definitely the south and the east is different than the west and the north and so on. However, it was pointed out that it seems like the preparation is there, but a lot of times is not enough, especially if you only stick to academia. Now, there are universities who are really making an effort to involve students in extracurricular projects, to get them connected with companies, to get them to have some more hands-on experience in a way or another. And there are some who don't make the same effort. And if we stick only to the classroom and just the lecture and so on, I would say that it's, in general, it does not fully prepare, mostly because we know that academia is facing, they have their own milestones and changes are more difficult to be brought there. However, with involvement in any extracurricular type of activities, including the things that BEST offers, so going to a conference and solving a real life task provided by a corporate partner, also communicating with them and interacting and learning more about what they need and the skills and so on. The courses, you know, that the extracurricular courses that usually, because they're short term, they really try to give you, you know, some hands-on experience. So you get to play a bit with AI, let's say, or to touch that new digital tool that is nowadays used and in multiple corporations and so on. So I think that the ideal preparation is really a mix of being in academia and learning your basics from there, like getting a good basis, and then really having extracurricular activities of any kind that enable you to get more in touch with the real world, so to speak.
Are there any resources or, you know, partners that you use software programs from, including Siemens, that you think are pretty valuable for students at this point?
As BEST currently, no. Let me think. I wouldn't say so. No.
No, none specific.
Yes. No. That wouldn't, as at least as BEST as an organization. But we do try to be, you know, the bridge that enables students to get in touch with these softwares, let's say. So that's how we make partnerships with the software providers and then try through our own frameworks to get them connected. So that would happen on the competition, for example, or on certain courses.
Because I actually do a lot of writing on different competitions throughout the United States, and I'm about to do one on the formula student SAE competition in Austria. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. It's a race car competition. But we talk about all of these different partner programs that we have with the schools, and those are pretty specific. And if we had an organization like BEST to, you know, help utilize these partnerships and really get these schools integrated in the software programs and be able to have those different resources that, you know, are not only supplied by us, but supplied by this bridge program, that would be immensely helpful. And I think it's amazing what you guys do. And I kind of wanted to segue into your experience at the GEDC Industry Forum with Dora. And she mentioned something about the Petrus GEDC Student Engagement Survey. Do you have any takeaways from the results of that?
Indeed, there was this survey that was conducted, and it actually got answers from students from all over the world, which was indeed pretty good. I think it was around 800 answers or something like that. And I would say that, yeah, there are a few interesting takeaways there. Well, the first one, and again, it applies even more globally if it applies just in Europe, is just how different it can be from one place to another, from one university to another, from one experience to another. You can see some sort of, you know, similar answers that differ a lot from each other between students from Europe and students from the United States, for example. But some of the takeaways, I mean, one of the main ones was that most of the students, they really favor learning by doing. So they do want this kind of hands-on experience, handling real-life problems, doing just work-based learning. Any type of learning that enables them to do something is something that they definitely prefer. Also, lectures were there in the top.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I think that is so funny, just because I myself am a college student, and lectures, you know, someone just talking to you and then you taking notes from it and not as much engagement. You wouldn't think that that'd be something that students are interested in.
Right.
And I was wondering, yeah.
Exactly. That's what we thought as well. And when the survey results came, we were like, wow, really, lectures? They're in the top there. And I totally understand what you're saying. They're definitely not that engaging. But I do think, and this is really a personal take on the result, I do think that this is about, you know, the value of the lecture as a concept, I believe, is still there. And I think that's what they answered with. Because before going into anything else, so before getting into doing something, before getting into a project or anything, you definitely do need to know your basics, right? You do need your theory to know what you're basing yourself on. Now, I guess the discussion on the format of these lectures and how to make them more engaging is a different one. But I believe that that the idea here is that they wouldn't want to, you know, just push the theory away because you need it. I wouldn't want that either. I do want to learn new things and to get the theoretical concepts. And lectures are the most straightforward or known way to do that, let's say. So yeah, this is at least my personal opinion on how come that they are there.
Well, I think as far as lectures go, and this is sort of an interesting topic just based on, you know, education in general, some people can absorb information very quickly and can put it in their minds. But other people, you know, when they're being introduced to a topic, before they start with the hands-on experience, they need to be more engaged with as well. And there's two different sides to that. Obviously, you could lecture. And secondly, you could, you know, ask people questions like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this concept and how it could apply to you? And then I'll explain how it could apply to other people, and sort of in more engaging lecture style, as opposed to some of the dreadful ones I've been in. But that's such an interesting takeaway from that survey. And I just love that you kind of touched on that. I also wanted to kind of get your opinion on, obviously, you've done amazing work with BEST, and it seems as though it's thriving after your presidency as well. But what do you think that is one of the biggest challenges that you had to deal with when you were a president, and what you think is needed most from either software vendors or like Siemens to support these student engineers, and what we could do more of?
Oh, first of all, thank you for the nice words. I really hope that is the case. I guess it will show this year and next year. If I am to be very honest there, and it's something that we struggled with as best both internally, and we can see a struggle externally as well. It's a large concept, but I believe this is one of the most important ones, and it's really innovation. Just really innovating in what you do and in the way in which you're doing things, because new things just come up, new technologies appear as fast as possible. And the industry, the companies, software vendors such as Siemens, they are the first one to know, they're the first one to adapt, and they are the first ones to introduce it. But then, mm-hmm. you know, students are learning, and then also organizations like BEST, they have their own methods. Everything is quite well embedded there, and change is difficult. And change is slow, you know, bringing in the innovation. But the problem is that it just seems to me that it's getting more and more needed. It's getting more and more urgent. And it seems to me like if we don't innovate at a faster pace, and if we don't adapt at a faster pace, we are really, really going to fall behind. And there's going to be a huge crisis coming up. A huge crisis. Like this is yeah. a bit dramatic. But I'm just trying to say that it's really necessary to be able to adapt and to change and to innovate in general. And more than this, it's that the students also need to be brought up into being an engineer or mm-hmm. a scientist or anything with the mindset of innovation, with the ability to recognize, you know, the new technologies, the fast pace at which the world is changing, to be aware of Industry 4.0 and all the matters that are there. That's where the industry just, you know, comes in, because, well, they know, they are there. They are the ones either producing it or receiving it first or knowing it. So they just need to be present way more in the student's life, you know, beyond the recruitment process, beyond the talent search, just creating meaningful, you know, impact on the students during their student years, also to make them aware of all these things. And this asks mm-hmm. for the general industry academia closer collaboration type of thing, which seems to be the hot topic, at least in all the events and conferences I attended this year. And I do believe it is one of those, and that they are so different, and there are people, open-minded people, that get there and discuss, okay, how can we really do this, which is amazing. And they do come up with certain things. But still, you know, it's slow. It's still something new. It's still change. It's still innovation. Just seeing the corporate world, the industry, getting way closer to the academia and into the students' lives and their growth and their learning process from joining university all the way until they get their degrees, to let them learn things and prepare them better, you know, for a bigger purpose, not just hiring them, let's say.
Thank you for that. That's very helpful information, because just from working at this company for about 3 months as an intern, I've gotten to see all of the ins and outs of how, first of all, how large Siemens as a company is, but also getting feedback from all of these different people and how can we do better? How can we change? How can we more utilize these partnerships with these universities to really, really help these students get into the workforce and get integrated fast and have kind of that security of job with all these different companies that they're able to now work for because of the skills that they know? And I don't believe that any of that would have been able to flourish if it weren't for this innovation and this change. As amazing as it is terribly hard to get everybody to understand that that is the only way that a company or an organization will be able to grow, because the world is constantly changing and technology is constantly changing. Big companies, big tech companies, you know, like Apple even, they've only been able to grow because of their innovation and because of the multiple risks they've taken and the amount of failures that they've had to go through to get to the right one. I think that's a very important component just of tech in general and STEM programs. And I'm glad that you touched on that, because that's the underlying theme of this whole conversation, I believe. But thank you for talking about that. Is there anything else about BEST that you would like us to understand, or to just some parting thoughts about the organization, at least from your experience or
The thing is that BEST exists because it really strives to be this connector, you know, the what we consider our stakeholders are the students, the industry, and our partners, and the universities and the academia. I mean, the idea behind it is, yes, of course, our main focus would be on students, because what we aim is to develop them alongside the programs that they're following in university. And the thing is that, you know, organizations like BEST, and I'm trying to say this as unbiased as possible, probably not fully because, yeah, I'm there, but still. Organizations like BEST, they can be a very nice framework to make this happen if there is openness from all the other sides as well. Because they already, they exist, you know. We exist exactly with this purpose, to be able to connect this the stakeholders that have a difficulty connecting, and to provide any type of a framework and platform and method to make that happen, and to enhance the experience of technology students as a result of what we're doing. Yeah, I guess the parting thought is that there are out there people, there are entities, organizations, institutions, certain universities even, certain parts of the industry, certain companies, such as Siemens, for example. You're explaining about the academical program that you're part of, which I think is great, for example. So there are some who are working on this, and there are methods and frameworks to make it happen. It just requires openness to change, to innovation, to trying out something new, and making use of, you know, these groups of people, because we're also not the only organization out there, but, you know, we are there. So and we want to. We just give our free time to make it happen. So let's just come together, join together our forces, our ideas, our everything that we have, to make this thing happen, to make sure that the student years in technology education are what they need to be for the future that's coming up, and for all the change that is present out there.
Future equals innovation.
Indeed.
That is awesome. Well, that is the most beautiful parting thought. I would like to thank you, Antonia, for being a part of this very first podcast. I'm so glad that we could kick it off on a really good note with this very future conscious organization of yours that you were formerly president of. And we hope to hear from you again. I hope to speak with you again. Thank you so much for being on this with me. It was awesome.
Well, thank you very, very much for inviting me, for having me here. It was really a pleasure to have this this nice conversation here, talk a bit about some thoughts, some ideas. I'm really happy to also be the first guest. Good luck with the podcast. I hope this is a good omen, so to speak.
Yes.
and it would really be my pleasure to be back here again, to speak to you again, and, well, whichever opportunity that arises, to connect somehow, and who knows, bounce off some more thoughts and ideas and make some things heard.
Always changing.
Yes, definitely. That is the theme.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much, Antonia. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you super soon. Thank you.
Thank you.